And I pray, Father, that as we open your word together today, that you would speak to our hearts to that end, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is amazing. He works at so many different levels, Father, and we're thankful for him. We thank you, Lord, that you've sealed us in the body of Christ with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, and invite him today to be our teacher. Might he guide us into your truth, Lord, as we spend this time together in your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon, we know, is on a difficult journey as he's recounting his wanderings. You might even call them wilderness wanderings, as he's gotten his eyes off the Lord and has begun to look at life through the lens of being under the sun rather than thinking in spiritual terms and looking for the spiritual application. He is in the wrong place. And yet, we find Solomon giving us some things that are worthy of consideration, worthy of considering. Here in chapter 7 is one of those spots that he gives us some things concerning wisdom. And I'd like to read beginning in verse 11 through verse 14 and then spend just a few moments talking about those verses. We read, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." So Solomon is talking to us today about wisdom and how it plays out in our lives. In verse 11, essentially he tells us that wisdom is good. It's a good thing to have wisdom. So for us, we don't seek for wisdom on the worldly plane. We have to seek for wisdom in the heavenly realm. Matter of fact, Paul would say that very thing. He says to us that Jesus is wisdom. He is our wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, we read, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Now, Solomon, we know, was a very wise man because his wisdom was imparted to him by God directly. You remember he asked for wisdom to guide his people, and God said, "Right on, Solomon, here you go." And yet, in the midst of that, he began to look for understanding, for wisdom on the earthly plane, and it led him astray. It led him astray. We know that Solomon began well. He was looking from the king's throne. He had everything that he would need to govern. He had the wisdom and understanding. He had wealth. He had power, he had influence, he had all of those things, and yet it wasn't enough when he wasn't connected to the Lord. That's why he would say again and again and again, "This too is vanity. This is vanity, 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 vanity." And you go, okay, Solomon, you're in the right place, but you have the wrong attitude. Do you ever find yourself there? You're in the right place, but have the wrong attitude. For us, you see, we realize that Solomon was provided with great prosperity and notoriety, and it was the Lord's doing. God speaks to us today, just like he spoke to Solomon. God spoke directly to Solomon, and perhaps some of you, God has spoken to you directly. Other times, it's through his word or by his spirit, but God does speak. In 1 Kings, we read about Solomon's divine appointments with the Lord. We read, "And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, wisdom to govern the people, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, I'm going to give you all these other things as well." And so for us, we realize that God has given us those same promises in the sense that he has given us all the promises that are in Christ. It says all the promises are in him. But the Lord also spoke to Solomon a second time, and he said something else, which was very important. It was almost a tag, if you will, to the first meeting. He says to Solomon, if you will walk before me as David your father walked in the integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you and will keep my statutes and my judgments, I will establish your throne. And the same is true for us. The Lord has given us promises. He says, if you will search for me with all of your heart, you'll find me. He wants us to be more fruitful, more effective, more powerful in this life, but it requires something of us, and that is a committed heart. He wants our heart to be committed to him. That's true wisdom. True wisdom is connected to the Lord. Moses would say, Lord, we're not going to the land if you're not going. And really, we need to be in that same place. Lord, I don't want to go anywhere where you're not leading me. I don't want, Lord, to go by myself. I know what the end of that journey is, and it's never pretty. The Lord gives true wisdom to us, but we have to seek it. And that's why it's so important for us, guys, to be in the Word of God every day. Every day we should be in the Word of God for some period of time. Doing a devotion or reading in Psalms or reading in Proverbs or reading in the Gospels. I mean, pick it up. Let me tell you something you probably know. Every part of this book is good. So no matter where you begin to read, you find yourself being fed by the Lord. Augustine said, the greatest good is wisdom. Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men and women know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Lord, help me to take that which you've imparted to me, that knowledge which you have given to me, help me to integrate it into my life, Lord, and then to diffuse it into the lives of those around me. That's why God brings revelation to your heart when you're spending time in the Word, or when you're in the sanctuary, or when you're praying. Or when you're in fellowship, have you ever had the Lord quicken something to your heart when you were talking with another person, having conversation, and all of a sudden the Lord just quickened something? They said they had no idea whatsoever that they'd said anything that was really important. But the Lord says, you need to pay attention to that. You need to embrace that. You need to hold on to that truth. We need to be those who realize that wisdom is good. And if it is good, then we need to seek after it. In verse 12, he says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Wisdom, Solomon would tell us, provides life and it provides protection. It helps us to choose wisely in every realm. In the physical realm, I mean, we live in the physical realm. We need to be wise about what we do. I mean, it's wise not to step in front of a bus when it's coming down the street. That's earthly wisdom. But there's all sorts of wisdom that the Lord imparts to us. There's wisdom that says, Mark, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't involve yourself in that relationship, whatever it happens to be. Every single one of us has to realize that God is firmly establishing us in our particular realm. Solomon was established in this kingdom of Israel. We read in 1 Kings, then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Now, why was that? It wasn't because of Solomon. It was because of what the Lord had done. And Solomon realized that at that time, because with protection comes rest. We read, but now the Lord my God, Solomon is speaking, he says, the Lord my God has given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Solomon at that point in time was exactly where the Lord wanted him to be, with a focus where it needed to be, and God blessed him in every sphere. And the Lord will do the same to you and to me. He will bless us in every sphere. He wants us to maintain that focus. Solomon had to ask the question, is this a wise thing to do? As he was going through his rule and reign there in the nation of Israel. The same is true of you and for me. We have to ask ourselves that question. Is this the wise thing to do? Is this the relationship you would have for me, Lord? Is this the job you want me to take? Sometimes the Lord will say no. But we have to be willing to ask the question. Paul would tell the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, so then, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're surrounded by evil things, but they don't have to penetrate us because we've been given protection. And that protection is particularly effective when we're walking in obedience. When we're walking in obedience, that hedge of protection we talk about is fully in place. Job experienced that. We saw that in the conversation between God and Satan. Satan said, have you not hedged Job about? Because Job was a righteous man. He was walking faithfully before the Lord. I am so thankful for God's hedge of protection in my life and the life of my family. And I'm sure you are too. But we should never take it for granted. We should always remember that that hedge can have holes poked in it if we start making wrong decisions. Solomon found that to be true. It led to the division of a kingdom because he allowed his pagan wives to turn him away from the things of God. We need to ask ourselves, Lord, how will this decision, that decision, the other decision affect my life? Because he says there, wisdom gives life to its possessor. Abundant life, as a matter of fact. Jesus came that we might have an abundant life. Embrace him, get to know him, spend time with him. Because you see, as we do that, we will begin to recognize when God is working. In verse 13, it says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked. True wisdom, wisdom sees God's hand in everything. Wisdom sees God's hand in everything. When that co-worker comes against us, we need to realize that God's hand is in the midst of that. He knows exactly what's going on. We need to realize it's not just a present personal attack. There's a spiritual dynamic to it. When we are blessed by some event that comes about, we need to say, thank you, Jesus, that you brought that into my life as a blessing to me. I'm so thankful. We need to, as he says there, stop and consider. That word is more than just a passing glance. You know, we've become a soundbite kind of people, where we're not focused for very long, we lose our attention, and our minds wander. We need to practice the discipline of focusing upon the Lord for extended periods of time. It's a discipline that we have to do. Have you ever noticed that when you choose to carve out some time to pray or to get into the Word, that you sit down and you begin that, and all of a sudden the phone rings, or the kids get in a fight, or your husband or wife all of a sudden needs you to do something? You ever notice that? We need to realize that's what happens when we try and draw nearer to the Lord, that there are going to be distractions that attempt to come up. And we need to just say, I'll get to you later. We need to realize that God wants us to fix our eyes upon him, because as I focus upon him, it's going to prevent my criticism of his work. When we complain about what's going on in our lives, we are criticizing God's work, because God allows everything to come into our lives for a purpose, or he brings things into our lives. We need to see, when we begin to see that everything is a result of God's work, all of a sudden it changes my attitude. And I need an attitude adjustment on occasion, regularly actually. But the psalmist would say, and you know this verse, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. When the temptation is to get into the flesh, to lose my focus upon the wisdom of the moment, I simply need to get my eyes off the situation to the to the heavens and to the Lord, and it's going to change me. And it'll change the circumstance as well. You see, because God is my help, He's not my hindrance. God didn't come to be a hindrance. He came to be a help. And sometimes we see things as a hindrance, and God says, no, son, that's not a hindrance. That's a help. I'm protecting you in this situation, in that circumstance. I love what the tribulation saints proclaimed in Revelation chapter 15. Now, keep in mind that they kept their faith to death. They were put to death. And we're seeing a lot of that in our world right now, that believers are being put to death for their faith. But listen to their declaration. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. You see, what they saw was beyond the shedding of their own blood. And they said, you know, God, what you're doing is right. What you're doing is good. Ultimately, for us, we're still here. So we're thinking about the suffering that our brothers and sisters are going through. But listen, they've graduated. Man, they're in heaven. They're with Jesus. Doesn't get any better than that. You know, we're still holding on to the pain of what they went through to get there. And I understand that. We all have that we deal with when we experience loss, whether it's near or far. It should touch our hearts. It should give us compassion for what they're going through so that we can pray, so that we can direct our prayers to the Lord. But Solomon, you see, sets forth God's providence. He's saying God's at work. When we talk about providence, what does that mean? Well, it means that God is working and will continue to work. It's His divine purpose and will. It's all part of the plan. We're not made privy to the plan most of the time, which is probably a good thing and blow our minds. But to be able to know that God is unfolding His plan in perfect time, all of a sudden, it sets us free from worry, from fear. Don't have to fear that which I know is going to be for God's glory and my good. Solomon was blind for a season because he got his eyes off the Lord and onto the world. Saul at that time was blind for a season, but God used that blindness to turn Paul's heart to Him. And when Ananias came and laid his hands upon Saul and Saul received his sight, man, he was fired up and he went out and began to minister. That's what happens when we enter those times of darkness in our own lives. God takes us through them. He brings us out of them. And we come out of them so many times fired up, because we know that God is worthy of our service, of our praise, of our worship, of our love. Guys, we need to be fired up. It's time to get fired up. The enemy's fired up. And his minions are fired up. And we need to be fired up as well. We need to be praying for that Holy Spirit fire in our lives, that fresh wind, that fresh fire. Great book, by the way, Jim Cimbala, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, I believe is the title of it. If you ever want to read a good book regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we see God's purpose in the design of both the crooked and the straight. We need to see that. Sometimes we look at the crooked and we go, that is so crooked. We need to straighten that out. You think of this, of the story of Johnny Erickson Tata comes to mind. That as a young girl, aspiring, athletic, dives off of a deck into the water, breaks her neck, paralyzed, quadriplegic for the rest of her life. And we go, man, that is so crooked. That needs to be straightened out. But God says, no. I'm going to use her to touch millions of lives of people who have been disabled through those kinds of things. Amazing story if you don't know her story. You should check it out. So we don't always see, but what God makes straight, praise the Lord, what we look at and we can say, oh, that is so awesome. That's great when we can say that, but when we see something crooked, we pray in faith, Lord, make it straight. But sometimes he says, no, I'm not going to make it straight. He said no to Paul. Perhaps he said no to you. I'm not going to make it straight. I have a better idea, Mark. You may not like the journey so much, but it'll be really profitable. Okay, Lord, let's do it. Here we go. Here I am, Lord, send me. Man of unclean lips, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. But the Lord can cleanse, and he can heal, and he can use. We're all witnesses of that reality. That's why we're here today, because we know that God can use us, even though we're the weak and the foolish. Matthew Henry said this, since therefore we cannot mend God's work, we ought to make the best of it. I love that. Since we can't fix God's work, we probably ought to make the best of it. Okay, Lord, let's do that. Let's make the best of that as we bring this thing to a close. Verse 14, it says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God also have set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Wisdom understands and embraces both prosperity and adversity. We love prosperity. That's awesome. Not so much adversity, but that's needful. We need to rejoice in the good things. We need not to overlook the blessings. I can do that so easily in my life. And perhaps you can too. To look beyond what God is doing in our lives in those realms of goodness and see what's not happening or what we think should be happening. I fall into that so often. Solomon had so much, and yet he couldn't see God's blessing. All he could see was, I'm going to have to leave this for somebody else, and I don't know if they're going to make good use of it. That's vanity. That's a bummer, he would say. No, I'm the richest man on the planet. You know, I have all of this power, all of this authority, all of this wisdom, and yet I'm not satisfied. There must be something more. The more is an intimate connection with Jesus. We sing the song, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. When's the last time you just said, Jesus or Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving me Jesus. Sometimes we need to express that. Our gratitude to our Heavenly Father for what he's given us. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord. We need to have those words ready on our tongue. But in the midst of that, we also need to consider the adversity. Why is this happening, Lord? Sometimes it's because it's needful to get us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's God's discipline because we've gotten off track. God uses adversity very well. He used it in Solomon's life. It tells us in 1 Kings 11, says, and the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. Why did he do that? Because Solomon had departed from the truth. He began worshiping other gods. He was building temples to all these pagan gods, Molech and all of the like of his wives' gods. And he turned away from the Lord. And when that happened, when the Lord let him know that he was in trouble, he knew that Jeroboam was the man on the scene that was going to be God's man. He tried to kill Jeroboam rather than what? What should he have done? Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I repent. Ask me, Lord, forgive me of that. I'll destroy those temples. I'll disassociate myself from those practices. Lord, restore me. But he didn't do that. He tried to kill God's provision. And we can find ourselves in that same place. George MacDonald says this, "I find that doing the will of God leaves me no time for disputing about his plans." What is God's will? You have it right here. He tells us lots of things we can do. Well, I want to know, you know, this or that or the other. Well, do what you know to do and allow him to reveal the rest when the time is right. That's the key. Do what you know to do and allow him to reveal the rest at a later date. When it's time, the Lord quickens us, and all of a sudden, we have the answer. We have the answer. Years ago, I was going through a really difficult time. It was before we actually went into ministry. We were serving, but we weren't pastoring a church at the time. And I went to a men's retreat. It was actually down at Applegate at the mountaintop. And don't tell my pastor, but I skipped out on his teaching. And I was out on the deck looking over the valley. And I was just in my heart, I was just heartsick about what was going on. And you know, in the midst of that, the Lord just, he spoke to me. That's all I can say. He spoke to me and he said, "Mark, perfecting the church is not your job. That's my job." "Oh yeah, that's right, Lord. You just take care of the ones that I put in front of you, and I'll take care of the rest." And it was awesome. It was awesome. The Lord wants to speak to you, to me, just like that. He wants to reveal his heart to us. And when he does, it is life-changing. Life-changing. I came down off that hill, changed man. Still have a long way to go, but I'm thankful for God's revelation in his word, by his spirit, his voice. And some, the Lord speaks to us all in different ways. None less, none more. But he'll speak when he needs to speak. Seek his heart. Seek his presence. Seek his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice." He will speak if we will but stop long enough to listen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your care. We thank you, Lord, for your patience. Lord, we thank you for your provision. There's much thankfulness that has been expressed in this sanctuary this day, Lord, and there's a purpose for that, a reason. Because you want us to have grateful hearts, grateful for your provision in our lives. Might we indeed embrace wisdom as we embrace Jesus, for he is our wisdom and he is our power. Nothing can stand before the power of Jesus. No thing, no person, no being, for he is everything. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory, Father. We long for that day, but in the meantime, Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to pursue you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us, Lord, to be instruments in your hands to impact our world. Help us, Lord, to be so consumed, Father, by your Holy Spirit, that we can but do your will. I pray, Lord, for each one in this place today. Might all of us, Lord, hear you speak. You have been speaking. You will continue to speak. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and then help us to respond. I pray the Lord would bless you this week, that he would surround you with his presence, that he would come up on you in power, that you would experience that refreshing wind and fire of the Holy Spirit, and that you would be excited, fired up for the cause of Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.